Please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and New York Times best-selling author, Dave Ramsey.
Welcome to one of my favorite lessons in Financial Peace University. There's a lot of goodies up here. We're going to have a good time learning about something that matters. Open your books to Of Mice and Mutual Funds, Understanding Investments. Dave, I don't want to talk about investments. I'm just trying to pay my bills, man. Investing, man, that puts me to sleep. It's boring. I don't understand it. It goes over my head. I'm going to nod off now. No, you're not. Because I tell you what. I told you earlier, and I've told you 1,000 times, if you live like no one else, later you get to
live like no one else.
There's no point in getting out of debt if you're not going to use the fact that you freed up all that income to go build wealth with. This is the other part. This is the build wealth part. Well, Dave, I'm just on baby step one. $1,000 looks huge to me. If I had $1,000, my life would be rocking. And now you're going to come in here and talk about investing? I just can't relate. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because I tell you what, you know, it's just like in water skiing. It's just like in a lot of sports. Did you know in a lot of sports that as you're moving in that you will go where you look? And I tell people, I mean, we've taught hundreds of people to water ski. We're big water skiers around our family. And we tell people all the time, you will go where you look. If you look down, you're going to go blah, 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 blah. If you go over a water ski jump, you ever seen those guys jump in the water skis? I've done that. You go over, they tell you, look up. Look up. You look down, you go boom, boom, boom. It changes the attitude of your body because you go where you look. And so if you're over here on baby step one on $1,000, I want you looking over here, looking at this bicycle climbing the mountain because that's where I want you to go. We need to move in this direction. Now, this bicycle, well, it represents what I call the pinnacle point. I remember growing up in Tennessee, we would go out riding on our bicycles. Now, in Tennessee, when you're out riding on your bicycles, it's just, you don't just go like this, you know. It's either like this, or it's like this, or you're stopped. These are your only options. It's up or it's down. And I'll never forget, a gazillion times as a kid, I'd come along a street, and the street would be going like this. And you know, little bitty guy, one gear. I didn't have all these gears. I had one gear. Did y'all ever have one gear? And you can't paddle. I mean, my little legs would. I was a little guy. I couldn't. So what you have to do is switch back, don't you? You back and forth and bang. And sometimes when you just go down while you're going back and forth, you can't. You know what I'm talking? Try to get a little speed and go up a little bit. You know what I'm talking? You did it too, didn't you? You know what I'm talking? And you work and you're like out of breath and you're sweating and you're over on the curb going, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. And you're back and you're forth and you climb and you climb and you climb until you reach that point right on top of the hill. When you're right at the apex, right at the top, right as it goes over. There's a moment there, isn't there, where you're just balanced. The work is behind you, and the ride is before you. You know what I'm talking about? That's called the pinnacle point. That's what I call it. There's that same place in your money. You work, and you climb, and you sweat. You may have just one gear. And sometimes you got to pull over and rest, and you switch back, and your friends are calling at you because they went a little faster. You got friends behind you making fun of you because they don't think anybody can climb that hill. Nobody can get rich. The little man just can't get ahead. And you work, and you work, and you work, and you work, and finally you reach that top point because you know the ride down is going to be fun. You can put your feet up on the handlebars, kick back. If I had hair, it'd blow through it. You know what I'm talking about? You can cruise down, can't you? Once you get to the top. But there's that moment right there, that instant in time when life changes, when the work is done, and you go, whew. Financially, that pinnacle point is when you have enough of a nest egg that your nest egg makes more money for you this year than you made for you this year. That's a cool place to get to. That's the pinnacle point. That's where I want to take you to with this lesson. Let's start with the basics. Keep it simple, stupid. Now, I'm not calling you stupid, but I'm just telling you, keep it simple, silly. You can call it, fill it in however you want. It's the KISS principle. You probably heard that, haven't you? And when it comes to investing, you can do the same thing. The biggest mistake people make is some people are too smart for their own good. In an effort to be sophisticated, they do stupid things. The wealthy people that I know have very plain, very simple processes that they use. All of these guys that have all this smoke and mirrors and all these other things going on, they don't make it. When I meet them 20 years later, they're broke. The smoke and mirrors took them down. Wealthy people that I know do very, it's painfully simple. It's ridiculous how simple their lives are. They do not overstep the bounds of what they understand. It does not mean that you're stupid if you make simple investments. On the contrary, it means you were wise enough to know what your limitations of your knowledge are. So you never, ever, ever put money in something because I said to. You never, ever, ever put money in something because anyone said to. You gather information from teachers like me, from people in the business. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And as you gather that information, you put money in things you understand. If you don't understand it well enough to teach a bunch of seventh graders how it works, you are not ready to put money in it. You work too hard to trust a guy in a good suit with a slick speech. Do not put money in stuff until you understand how it works, period. And you know, sometimes these financial people, they don't mean to. And some of them do mean to because they got egos. I've been around the financial world my whole working life. And there's a couple of different things going on there, but some of it's ego and some of it's just stupidity. We get our own little set of words in every industry, don't we? We have our own vernacular. And you ever sat down and talked to a lawyer and you had no idea what they were saying? You ever had a doctor come in and say, try to tell you what was going on? He sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I had that happen one time. My wife was having headaches, and so we took her in for an MRI, and the doctor comes back out to tell us what's going on, and he comes in, and he's like, wah, 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 wah. And I raised my hand, and he said, yes, sir, you. And I said, I have no idea what you just said. And he said, okay. And I said, well, let me try it again this way. Me have the checky booky. You want to get paid, you're going to tell us what you just said in English. You know, that guy grew a bedside manner right there in front of us and began to tell us they had no idea what was wrong with my wife's head. I could have told him that for a lot less than $8,000. It's the only sharing joke. We don't do sharing jokes. We're smart. Okay, now, but seriously, I mean, don't sometimes financial people come in, they sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Shut up. If you can't speak to me in a way that I can understand what's going on, I am not going to be able to do business with you. This is your phrase. You remember that phrase, and you repeat that phrase for the rest of your life to insurance people, to mutual fund brokers, to estate planners, to real estate people, to mortgage people. Anybody who starts talking to you in another language and you don't get it, don't play it off and act like, well, I'm too dumb, and I'm going to sit here and act like I know what's going on, and I'm going to sign anyway. And then three years later, find out you are neck deep in a stupid mess. Do not put money in something until you can tell me or someone else how it works. You want financial people in your life, but you want ones with the heart of a teacher. And about 85% of the people in the financial industry do not have the heart of a teacher. They have the heart of a salesman. They're there to pitch stuff and pitch them out the door is what you need to do. You need to get the ones, that 15% that has the heart of a teacher. And they will teach you. You know how they know that? You know how you'll know they have the heart of a teacher? Because you learn when you're around them. And I got to tell you this, guys. If you're sitting in here, men, and you're married, your wife can feel this stuff. She's got these little antennae. And if she's like, I just don't like him, get away from him. If she has one of those feelings, get away. Get away. Even if he might be or she might be an okay guy or gal, get away from him. Because that probably means you're not supposed to be there. It's okay. Go do another deal someplace else with the heart of a teacher. Always work with people with the heart of a teacher. Never invest purely for tax savings. I'm putting money in this because it's saving me on taxes. Usually this, whatever this is when you do that, if it's a pure tax deal, the item that you're investing in is stupid and a bad deal. And it's an economically bad deal, but the tax part works. And they're trying to suck you in with some tax incentives into something you don't need to be into. Invest in good things, and we're going to teach you in the college and retirement planning lesson how to shelter it appropriately and safely, but don't go out there with your primary motivation being to save on taxes. Let your primary motivation when it comes to investing be make money. Then try to find a way to shelter that as a part of that. But if your primary motivation is taxes, you will always get your tail kicked. You'll get in some stupid deals. Never invest using borrowed money.
Dave, I borrowed $62,000 on my home.
It's a dumb idea to play something you heard about on the internet. Really dumb idea. Diversification. That's one of those wah, 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 wah words, isn't it?
I have a well-diversified portfolio.
What did he just say? Diversification is a real simple idea. It means to spread around. It means don't put all your money in one thing. You'll get your head taken off. Don't bet your family farm on one horse in one horse race. And you know, I got this sure thing. There are no sure things. Always spread your investing around. Never have it in one thing under any circumstances. Because when you spread it around, you have lowered risk. That's what happens. Now, our children are all grown now. How many of you have got a couple of kids, two or three or four or five, something like that? Isn't it interesting how none of them are alike? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you don't have two. You go, oh, your two are just alike. You know, they're all different. It seems like no matter how many you have, they're different. They may have some similarities, but I've got three, and they're three distinctly different kids. Now, we're good Southern people, so if you were to come over and hang out with us one evening, we'd probably go out back on our screened-in porch and sit there, and we'd get some sweetened tea. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And, you know, lots of sugar and caffeine. We'll be up all night. You know what I'm saying. And, you know, syrupy. It's good. That's a good Southern drink, right? And, you know, when our kids were little, they were convinced that we had them so that they could wait on us. And they were partially right. And so had you come to visit us when our kids were little and we were going to have some sweet tea, it would have been very likely that we would have sent one of those kids or some of those kids after some tea. And as we had done that, we would have seen their little personalities manifested differently in the way they got the tea, wouldn't we? Our oldest child, Denise, very proper. Everything is supposed to be in its place. Details matter. When she was little, she could tell if the children, that's what she called them, the children had been in her room because the air had been moved. If Denise goes and gets our tea, there'll be 2.3 cubes in each glass. Each glass will be filled exactly the same because fairness matters. They will be placed exactly the same on the tray, and with way too much stress, this child will deliver the tea. You know what I'm talking about. You got one of those, right? Our second child, Rachel. Rachel, I mean, from the moment she's born, it's been a party, looking for a place to happen. And if she was little, when our kids were growing up, they were little. Y'all remember the old cartoon Beauty and the Beast, right? I mean, if Rachel goes and gets the tea, she's going to set the stereo speakers out, plug in Beauty and the Beast. She's this high, and she's going to come out going, be our guest, be our guest, be our guest. Right? My son Daniel has a wonderful, tender servant's heart. He's very concerned about other people. It's a wonderful character trait to have. And he would come out and take your personal order on how you wanted your tea. And then he would go back and take the time to prepare exactly what you wanted, and he would bring it out. And then he would have a little towel over his arm, serving you. That's his personality stuff. And see, if we want tea around our house with all this junk going on, we're probably going to have to send two or three of them because they're probably going to bump into each other, right? We're going to diversify our efforts so we end up with some tea at the end. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like the old investor thing. You know, when I was in investment class, they told us the same thing that the Bible says. The Bible says, give your portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Diversify. Spread around. They told us in investment class 101, the very first finance class you take, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You ever heard that? Say yes. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. See, if you put all your eggs in one basket, problem is something could happen to that basket. That's a bad idea. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Instead, spread your eggs around. Put a couple here, and let's buy a little bit of this kind of an investment here, and we're going to continue. You know, we don't want it all in one place. Something could happen to the one place, and we wouldn't want to have that happen. I mean, you know, there could be a disaster. There could be a hurricane. And if we have all of our eggs in one basket, oh, we could run into all kinds of problems. I mean, something could come along and cause problems. This is a regulation 16-pound shot put. Pretty serious. I mean, we could name this 911. We could name this Katrina. We could name it job layoff. We could name it, you invested all of your 401k in your company, and your company stock went to zero when your company went broke. So don't buy company stock in your 401k. It's putting all your eggs in one basket. And if you put all your eggs, oh, this is scaring me. Are you guys down there freaking out just a little bit? I mean, there may be a problem here. We may need to get like the plastic out. Are y'all ready? Because if you put all your eggs in one basket, I mean, you know, something could come along, couldn't it? Do we need to draw the suspense out more? I mean, it would be, you want to spread it out. See what diversification does? You see what diversification does? Diversification creates safety, and you're not going to have that happen. Oh! You got to be careful. Ugh. Ugh. You got to be careful. You can't bet the farm on one horse, can you? You'd want to spread it out. Because see, if I drop it on that one, or I drop it on that one, I got all the rest of these, and I'll be fine. Everything will be okay, won't it? Unless I step on one of these and cause a problem later. So I'm going to go ahead and do a little risk management while we're at it here. Oh, my gosh. Does that make the point? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Something will happen to that basket. It's a bad idea. Give your portions to 7, yes to 8, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Now, with virtually all investments, as the risk goes up, you should make a better return. So does the hopeful return. So if I'm going to take less risk, I'm usually going to make less on my money. Does that make sense? Yes. And so there's a spectrum of risk. As I take more risk, I'm going to make more money. I can put my money over here in a simple cookie jar. And I could do an investment in a cookie jar. Now, cookie jars have an interest rate of what?
Zero.
So I can put my money in here. I'm not going to make anything on it. But it'll pretty much be here. Unless the kids find it. But that's a zero risk, but a zero return. I could take a little bit more risk and put it in a savings account, and I'm going to make like, 2% or something, right? But it's going to be there most of the time, as long as I can get the teller to figure out the account number, right? I mean, there's very little risk with FDIC insurance. I could take a little bit more risk and do a CD. I could take a little bit more risk and maybe do a mutual fund. I could maybe buy a single stock. That's even more risk, but I might make more return. I could go to Las Vegas. That'd be a little more risk. Or I could go completely off the risk spectrum, and I could be a day trader and lose my tail end. Now, I don't recommend day trading or Vegas as your investment plan, but I also don't recommend cookie jars because there's two kinds of risk you've got to consider when you're thinking about investing. Now, keep in mind, saving is for 5 years or less. Investing is for 5 years or more. I'm going to leave this alone long term. Now, here's the situation. If I lose my money because I put it in a bad investment, that's a risk, the risk of losing my money. And when I say risk, that's what you think of, right? Say yes.
Yes.
Now, there's another kind of risk, though. If you're not making at least 6% on your money when you're investing it 5 years or more, you've got another problem, inflation and taxes. Because, see, inflation runs for the last 70 years, according to the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, that has averaged about 4.2%. And so this $100, if it doesn't earn 4.2%, if it earns 4.2%, it'll just be worth what it was worth last year. It'll only buy what it would buy last year. because it's worth 4.2% less in terms of purchasing power. That's what inflation is. Does that make sense? Say yes. Okay. So I've got to make 4.2% to break even with inflation, and to net, after I pay taxes on my money, making money, to net 4.2%, I've got to make 6%. So 6%, I pay taxes, I break even. So you've got to make 6% on your money to break even with taxes and inflation. And so you've got to move along this risk spectrum enough that you get up in above 6% to be making any real money above taxes and inflation. Does that make sense? Say yes. So in other words, if I stay back here, I'm not going to probably lose my money, but I'll get tackled from behind by inflation and taxes catching up with me and giving me a shoestring tackle just as I get to the finish line. And all of a sudden, I've got a big pile of money, but because it's been over a huge number of years, it really won't buy anything, and I'm not ready to go. So you've got to take those two kinds of risks into consideration. Also with investing, when discussing investments, liquidity means availability. When you hear someone say, I have a liquid investment, that just means they can get their money. It doesn't mean they bought water. And so, again, if you take more risk, you make more money. But the other thing is, if you're willing to tie your money up and it does it, you can't get to it, it's not available, it's not liquid, then you can make more money as well. So, in other words, it's very liquid in the cookie jar, isn't it? But a crummy investment. As a long-term investment. I'm not making anything on it. It's safe and it's liquid, but that doesn't give me what I want for a five-year or longer investment. Same thing with a stupid savings account or a CD, a certificate of depression. I'm not really making anything on my money after taxes and inflation. So I've got to take a little more risk, and I've got to be willing to tie my money up a little longer. And if I go all the way over here, there's an investment a lot of you have made that is an excellent, excellent investment. That is very, very illiquid. It's very hard to get your money out of quick and easy. But it's a great investment, and a lot of you have one. What is it?
A house.
Real estate. Real estate's a great investment, but it's very hard to get your money out of. Your money's not available. It's not liquid. And if you don't believe me, try to sell a house fast. We have a word in real estate for houses that sell fast. Cheap. You have to discount the price really deep to get it to move. Proof it's not liquid. Same thing with mutual funds and other things like that. You do not want to be in those things if you have to jump in and out, jump in and out, jump in and out. You want to be able to park your money for a while, and you want to take a little bit of risk. Not too much over to day trading, but we want to take a little bit of risk and be able to leave it alone a little while in order to be able to make more than that 6% and do well. As there is more liquidity, there's typically less return. So as the money's more available, just like as there's less risk, you're not going to make much on your money. So if you want your money available and safe, you're not going to make any money on your money. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to lose money after taxes and inflation. So you got to take a little bit of risk. When you bought a house, you didn't get a guarantee, but it was a good buy, right? Right? Okay. The house is no guarantee, so you took some risk. But it was an educated risk because real estate has a good track record over many years of being a good investment. So you felt safe buying it. But you don't have a government guarantee against loss on your house, do you? Say no.
No.
So you took a risk, but it was a reasonable risk for a good investment. And you tied your money up.